Hello and welcome to the Blame Game, the show that's got more laughs than the Irish Open has yellow slacks and diamond jumpers. Yes, this is the show that brings peace to Northern Ireland, the same way Tony Blair brought peace to the Middle East. I'm Tim McGarry and our regular jihadis of jokes are, of course, Colin Murphy, Jake O'Kane and Neil Delamere. And our special guest tonight is from Dublin. He was on RTE's Late Late Show last week. He's on RTE Radio 2 every day. He's going to be on tour soon. I tell you not to miss him, but if he's in your town, it's hard to miss him because he is the incomparable Mr. Al Porter. And ladies and gentlemen, we're here tonight in the Mac in Belfast, home of cutting-edge theatre and indeed all art forms from dance to farce. And talking of farce, we have yet another political crisis in the Assembly. Honestly, you'd almost think our politicians were no good at their jobs. Well, I have a simple solution to the latest crisis. Scrap Stormont and replace it with FIFA. Now, on with the show. The audience asked the questions and our panel provides some very unreliable answers. So what's our first question tonight? It comes from the audience. Sheila Devlin in Belfast asks, who's to blame for the Baltic weather in May? I think that'll be the gay referendum down south. So our first question tonight is, ladies and gentlemen, our first question tonight is, who do you blame for bad health? Yes, sometimes our politicians are accused of not knowing what our health service is actually like. Well, no one can accuse Peter Robinson of that this week. He took an extremely close look at the workings of the NHS. And we in the Blame Game genuinely hope that the First Minister has a full and speedy recovery, because we have about 2 weeks of Peter Robinson heart attack gags. It's been revealed that Martin McGuinness visited Peter in hospital. How times have changed, eh? A lot of years ago, even the thought of being visited by Marty would have given Peter a heart attack. And when Martin visited the First Minister, he brought him some fruit. The Irish News. And a form so that Peter can claim DLA. But who can we blame for bad health?
I'll make a bet that Peter wasn't kept waiting on a trolley in casualty for 24 hours when he was brought in, I'll tell you that. I heard a rumour that the Muslim surgeon that was treating him, they had to call him back from the shops where Peter sent him for a week. And if there's any justice, he should have came up after the operation to see his nurse wearing one of them wee rainbow badges and preparing him for a suppository. That would have made my day. Peter.
Yeah, well, this make me feel better.
No, but it'll make me feel happy. What's getting me medicine now is going mad. What's getting me health and modern medicine is you can't trust what they say. No offence to any doctors who are in, but every week there's a different thing. Alcohol is bad for you. No, if you're over 50 and you have a bad heart, alcohol, wee red wine's good for you. Exercise, you've got to exercise. No, only exercise 15 minutes high intensity every week. Fat, that's bad for you. No, fat's okay. Sugar's bad for you. Well, aspirin a day. Take an aspirin a day. No, you'll die. Coffee's good, coffee's bad. They're going to use magic mushrooms to treat addicts. The guys in white coats need to go and see guys in white coats. Listen, and it's relevant to me, you see. The difference for you ones is I turned 50. Now, it's a long way away from you, Al. I've turned 50. But at 50, I think God is like manufacturers of electrical goods. They build in obsolescence. You have a washing machine, 2 days after the 2-year warranty's up, it'll die. Every time. When I hit 50, bits started falling off. You hit 50, bits start falling. Eyes, I'm wearing glasses, my eyes, holding the paper further away. Then I'm celiac. I had the celiac thing. I'm allergic to gluten. Now, that's bad enough, but the test you have to go for, the tests, you know what I'm talking about, Mrs. The test, you have to go for a colonoscopy, right? Now, it's too early in the morning to describe what a colonoscopy is. Let's just say it's putting a camera where God never meant a camera to go. You're in the little surgery and the nurse says, "Now, Mr. O'Kane, if you'd roll round your side and lift your knees to your chest, that will strike terror into any man." And I looked at the side of this hose, the camera. There's a big hose thing. And I says to the doctor, I says, do you do veterinary on the side in here? What's going on here? Are you serious? You're going to stick that up at me? So give me a wee sedative. Because there's a TV screen to watch your insides. He says, do you want to watch it? I says, that's a reality TV I don't want to see. Hit me with a sedative after the first. It wasn't that bad. The cells had kicked in and I started watching the camera. I started giving a running commentary. That doesn't look too bad. Oh, look at that there. That's quite pink for a man my age. That's not bad. Oh, go back. I think I saw Shergar. Go back. I think I saw... But the bit they don't tell you, you will never know unless you go through this, is to get the camera around, because you think you're cool on, it's all twisted. So to get it round the corners,
yeah,
they have to pump air into you.
Oh.
They pump air in, and like your belly, I can see my belly starts going out, right? Now to get the camera. But then they have to push the air out. Otherwise you become the weirdest party balloon that humanity has ever seen. So there's a nurse pushing on my belly. Now it's a closed system. Where the actual camera where it is, it's the only way the air is going to come out. So I'm lying. It's the most surreal thing in my life. I'm lying there. The nurse is pushing my belly. And I said to her, see if you find a tune. See if you find a tune here. I was convinced she was using me like a human bagpipe.
Get in a bed now in Dublin, Neil will tell you, it's a bit like when you're on holidays and you want to bed. You know, you have to arrive at the hostel at 5 a.m. and throw your towel on one. It's very, very difficult. I would have a better chance of seeing a doctor on Tinder.
The other thing about the whole Robinson thing, and I don't know if it's my age, but within 5 minutes, McGuinness and Adams had tweeted,
but when, years ago you never had any of that. Years ago Adams was shot. I remember Adams getting shot and they asked Big Ian Sr. What he thought of it. And God love Big Ian. There was no back doors to Big Ian. There was none of this, I hope he gets better. I hope he recovers. Big Ian, he who lives by the sword shall die by the sword. that's a straight man. And McGuinness bringing Robinson a bowl of fruit. You can imagine Robinson, and he'll go, oh, I'll be smart. You can imagine Robinson sitting looking at that fruit, and turning the fruit round, and checking the fruit, and then eventually getting Iris to taste the fruit. There's no way Robinson would eat that fruit.
I wonder if it was all oranges.
Imagine if he had to get a heart transplant and it was from a Catholic. He was just in the middle of storm at one day and just suddenly felt himself blessing himself for no reason. I can't stop it.
So what is our next question tonight? Our next question tonight is, who do you blame for golf? Yes, this week the Irish Open is being played at Royal County Down. BBC sports presenter Stephen Watson is incredibly excited about the event. Clearly he's never been to Newcastle before. But even if you hate golf, this is another sign that Northern Ireland is moving forward. Because a lot of years ago, any time anyone mentioned bunkers, the bunker had 200 Armalites and a ton of Semtex in it. And the other big sporting story this week is that several FIFA officials have been arrested for alleged corruption. The FIFA officials themselves, however, are not overly worried about being brought to court. Because as we know, those lads are great at fixing results. So who can we blame for golf?
I hate golf. I hate it, because golf, right, if you're rubbish at football, you are consistently rubbish at football. Golf teases you every so often by allowing you to hit a decent shot, and then you think you're good at it, you're not any good at it. Golf is like a girl who you fancy who doesn't fancy you, but every so often goes, oh, and you think you're in, but you're no closer to the hole. They printed a whole guide to it, though. Did you see the Belfast Telegraph of how to get there? Like, there's buses.
Sorry, what?
I've written it down. Yeah, how to get there. There's buses from Belfast, Derry and Londonderry. Armagh, Bangor. Like, anyone is from Bangor is getting a bus. There's going to be a park and ride facility. That's mainly for Tiger Woods.
It's 20,000 people apparently.
Every day. You
know, every day.
But it is the most, it's brilliant that it's the Irish Open, because it's the best lineup now, because Rory McIlroy got them. Now, that's the way the Irish Open should be organised. An American massive golf tournament is like, we'll look at the best qualifiers and we'll have some sort of rating system. Whereas this is Rory McIlroy going, oh, come on, come on. Sean, you're your family, come on. Because everybody knows everybody if you're Irish. That's why Ireland has no witness protection programme. It's fantastic. Oh, but at least, there's going to be 30,000 odd people there, right?
Yeah,
and odd people.
And they will be odd.
Yeah. But it's good value because there's loads of stuff going on. There was another story this week which is bad value. There's a load of people went to this kind of theme park that was based around Frozen. And they went mad. There's a film Frozen. They went mad because it was 19 quid to see some crap Olaf the Snowman, right? And I watched this. I read the newspaper and... I had a flashback to, I don't know if I ever told you this, right? I did a show here on a certain station and the woman goes, we're going to interview you, okay? And I said, brilliant, live on television. And then we're going to interview Elsa from Frozen. And I went, the animated character? She goes, yeah, yeah. I said, how's that going to work? She goes, oh no, she's a girl and she dresses up as Elsa and she looks exactly like her and she's going to stay in character. And I went, okay. So this was here recently, right? And so it interviewed me, and then it went, and for all the kids at home, Elsa from Frozen. And this girl walks on, and she's the image of Elsa from Frozen. Blonde hair, princess outfit. And she goes, so Elsa, it's been a big year for you. And live on television, Elsa goes, oh, it's been a wild big year for me, so that's been a big year. I'm just sitting there going, what the hell is this? Like, there's a Northern Irish version of Frozen. It's Baltic, it's Baltic. Let it go, let it go. No surrender, let it go, let it go. It was brilliant.
Wow. It's McDowell, Colin McDowell.
Graham McDowell.
Graham McDowell. I don't know the titty stick game. Graham McDowell or McDowell. Or McDowell, what does he call himself now? He calls himself McDowell.
He calls himself Ali McYankton.
His voice is unbelievable because every so often it slips back into this here and then it goes back out again. It's an amazing place to be, so it is. It's amazing. Well, the people here are really fabulous, so they are. They're really amazing, but it's the main thing is the crack. That's the thing about the whole thing. It's unbelievable. It's really amazing. I'm like a 9-iron. I'm going to hit it up the fairway there, so I'm going to go in the hole, so it is. It'll be amazing. I'll be 9-under power and I'll win this whole thing. It sounds like you're tuning the guitar. That's all it is.
I saw him interviewed last year with his dad, because he's from the North Coast, and they interviewed Graham about a round of golf, and he did that, yeah, well, I'm very disappointed, you know, bogey the 15th and all of that. And then turned to his dad and says, how do you think Graham did it? Jesus, boy, I thought he'd done fantastic. Well, he's totally Joey Dunlop.
My dad used to force me, he said, the only sport that you should have to play is the ga. The ga, the GAA. And I did do for years, putting the Y back into GAA. And I hate it. And I do try and keep fit. Like in Dublin, believe me, I do a lot of running. Not voluntarily. Just something I have to do, you know. But I'm just not, able for like trying to find it interesting in this least. Like I couldn't do anything. I've only realised recently that people thought I was very working class growing up because we used to play tennis on the road. I didn't realise that was very working class. Apparently middle class people were going, but where was the net? Where was the court? Where did you play? And they used to go, well, you just hit the ball. Like. That's all you're meant to do. And the same thing with...
In July.
Well, you see, yeah.
You do it when Wimbledon's on, and then
you forget.
And
then
you stop.
Yeah, and we used to play football on the road, and they were going, well, did you not go to the court? Like? And they go, no, you just close your gates and kick the ball against it, you know?
I don't know if you know much about sport if you were looking for a football court.
I tell you, I know nothing.
Excuse me, where is the snooker pitch?
Thank you very much for that indeed. Yes, and by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not saying that FIFA is corrupt, but deciding to hold the 2022 World Cup in Qatar is a bit like deciding to hold the next DUP conference in a gay nightclub. FIFA has finally decided to clean up its act and is appointing 3 new people to help improve its image. Katie Hopkins, Tony Soprano, and Johnny Adair. So what is our next question tonight? Our next question tonight is, who do you blame for barristers on the brew? Yes, some criminal barristers in Northern Ireland have gone on strike. Criminal barristers are barristers who deal with criminal cases and should never ever be confused with barristers who charge such outrageously huge fees, it's almost criminal. You will actually see barristers on the picket line protesting, chanting away, what do we want? appropriate fees commensurate with the complexity of the legal issues involved. When do we want it? After lunch, we'll be in Dean's Brasserie. The barristers say they are prepared to strike for as long as it takes, or at least until they have to pay Toby and Jemima's school fees. But who can we blame for barristers on the brew?
Yeah, barristers, and yeah, they're on strike, so I presume there is a picket line, and which will be the poshest picket line ever. And just, we've got a brazier. Well, it's not really a brazier, it's more of a barbecue, really. You know? Cecil's got scallops. And, yeah, they're going to strike because it's only criminal cases that they're refusing. They're doing the work to rule, so they're basically saying, right, that's it, everyone out. And a case stopped today. There was a guy in court, and then the next thing, the barrister went, right, I'm off, and legged it. And that was a case that was adjourned. It had to be rescheduled. And, so it's criminal cases. But the legal aid bill here is phenomenal. The amount of money that they spent here on legal aid, it is ridiculous. In Scotland, it's something like 157 million. That's how much it spent last year. Population of 5.5 million people. Do you know how much it was here last year? For a population of 1.8 million, right? 1.8 million. Do you know how much population? It was £134 million. I know. We are all criminals. Seriously, there were 105,000 reported crimes last year. Do you know what I mean? That's like 1.7. That's a percentage of the population committed crimes. That's in this room. There, those front rows, those two. We all know who we're looking at. It's phenomenal. And every second person you meet is a solicitor. So they're either a criminal or a solicitor. What do you do, solicitor? What do you do? Keep him in business. You know, it's just...
And what they should do then?
What?
That sounds like... They should, like, legal aid should be like Band-Aid. They should try and raise money for solicitors. Just have one of those ads where, you know, Mervyn has to walk 5 miles every day just to get a good Prosecco.
The Prosecco, that's another thing. Yes, yeah. The Prosecco is rare, apparently. There is some sort of problem with the harvest.
A very bad harvest to the
Italian
group.
Yeah, so Prosecco is really good. The price is going through the roof. It really is. It's shot up.
Hold on, what is Prosecco?
Prosecco is sparkly wine.
Oh, no.
It's a little than a champagne. Do you know what I mean? It's something you have in the middle of the afternoon. Just a wee aperitif.
No, in North Belfast, it's P&P with alcohol.
What's P&P?
Price and potency.
Oh, yeah.
So is it 40%?
No, it's only about 17.
Ah, oh, forget the word. That's not alcohol at all. That's a mouthwash.
Do you see what they're called, though, the people who buy a Prosecco?
What?
They're called, I think it's called negociants.
What's that mean?
Yeah, but it's the people who negotiate the price for it. But it just sounds like something that you'd hear about Martin McGuinness was Sinn Féin's chief negociant. He was always the chief negotiator, wasn't he? Martin McGuinness, wasn't he?
Yeah. Is he a
Everybody
Prosecco?
Else is the president of the party or the head of the party, but chief negotiator just sounds like he got into some shit.
He said something, they occasionally say things, and it's totally innocent, but just if you're my age, he said that the Secretary of State, there's all this stuff going on, and the word's going to end, as usual, in the Assembly. And Martin was interviewed, and they said, well, Mr. McGuinness, what do you think? And Martin said, well, I'll be meeting her very early tomorrow morning.
Just know,
guys have heard that in the past and left the country.
It's just the idea that you wake up and he's sitting at the end of your bed. With a fruit basket.
Do a draw in court. Do a draw. As you come into court,
yeah.
Just do 50-50.
What do you mean?
And, well, the one's coming into court for trial.
Oh, right.
Just send 50 of them to the jail straight away without a trial.
No trial, no nothing.
No trial, no nothing.
I think the army tried this in 1974.
No, no. They've done something. Haven't got the court behind it.
It's just coming back to me.
Have any of you been in court?
Yes.
You obviously have been in court because you were a solicitor, and I can see your black heart from here. You been in court?
Scared the life out of me. Commercial. Mine wasn't even criminal. I'm sitting. This is how nervous I was.
Yeah.
I was sitting in the waiting area with two wrong shoes on. I had my wrong shoes on. There were guys coming in with the wee bags. They knew they were going away. Now, the only thing I was just getting a license thing worked out, and these guys were coming over. Hey, are you getting done? And I'm going, no, I'm shaking like a leaf.
didn't take a fizz out of them. That's why I say send 50 of them straight to jail. Serve a fortune.
I can just imagine him sitting there going, oh my God, one of them is a stiletto, one of them is a ballet pump.
The barrister is one that go to Marks Spencer's. It's Marks Spencer's is the home of the barrister. if you want, if you ever look, if you ever need legal advice, just go to Marsh Spencer's. Just go to, not one of the one, not, you know, like one in the middle. I live in Lisburn Road. That is the home. You can chuck a stick in there, you'll hit a barrister or a doctor. That's just, that's what you'll do, right? And in there, it's unbelievable. The meal deal for two. Oh, my God. See when that comes out. Oh, my. The place goes mental. It really does. Oh, and they always put it at the end of the aisle, don't they? Oh, meal for two. Oh! It's like a feeding station for middle-class people. They're just all crowding around and looking like you see on the news in Africa. And they're all there looking, going, get the scallops, Gerald, get the scallops! I'm not prawns, you bloody idiots!
I like the pomp and ceremony of aristocracy, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, even where I was growing up, we were always trying to bring ourselves up into that kind of station, you know? I always knew people who did accents called, like, aristocratic council estate, you know? Where you over-enunciate all of the words but still manage to pronounce them wrong. And that was a thing, like, you wanted to give it loads. I was the only queen in my area. Like, you want to give it loads. I remember going into a shop, and it's funny that you mentioned M&S. They opened an M&S around my area. Now, it's all council heads, like, and you're opening an M&S, and we're still waiting on a Penny's or, you know, a Primark, and that's how you know you are in talent, is people pointing at empty buildings going, Penny's going in there, and that's all we would say, right? But anyway, they opened that M&S, complete nonsense. I went in, they had a shoe part, and everybody who worked there was told that they have to put on a nicer accent, that they had to enunciate, which I think is against the law, I don't know. Yeah. But anyway, so I met a friend of mine in the shoe part and went, you have them in a 10? And she went, I'll check the stir. And I think Olivia's having a stroke.
Maybe she was just bored by what you were saying.
So she goes off, she goes, I don't have them in a 10, but I have them in an 8. I'm thinking, thanks, but I need to be able to walk. And I goes, do you have them in the other stores? Can you check for me? And she goes, yeah, I can check the other stores for you. And I think, this is going to be gas, right? Because she's going to make a phone call and nobody will understand her. But instead of doing that, she took a step toward the entrance and screamed over at another shoe shop, Fairy! Do you have 10 in a 10? There's another girl at the other entrance. I've gone bright red going, no, would you get lost? So, all right, love, I see you. I love you, leave you. Right, bye, 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 bye. Turns to me and goes, they're not available.
Made a profit this
they did,
year.
For yes. The first time in a long time. Well, no, their profit's gone up, yeah.
Yeah, but that's the first time they've done it, and it's the food, obviously, it's marvellous. It's so convenient. And so the food's made a profit. The clothes, not so much. There's that sort of suede skirt that the woman Alexa Chung was wearing. And then yeah. So everybody sees this on this very, very skinny, very attractive, model-y type woman, and everybody goes, that's brilliant, I'm going to buy that. It's not going to look like that on you. You know, it's going to look like a chamois that's a bit overstretched. That's what it's going to look like. And then you can't find it, apparently. Even if you go into Marks and Spencer's, it's not available in any of the shops, because that's the thing about Marks. That's one of the complaints everybody has. I believe this is true, that if you, especially in the women's clothing, the men's clothing is just the same. It's just beige. And beige, a tie, and some pants, because the men don't do the shopping in Marks and Spencer's. It's the funniest thing in the world. It's going in there, and you just see wee old men being led around by wee old women, and she's holding things up against him. And then he has no choice in this whatsoever. He just stands there holding bags.
I do have a choice in it. I do have a choice.
Elasticated pants, that's the way forward, Jake. You get see the pants. Everybody buys the pants. That's the one thing. They did this big survey, and that's the one thing. Everybody buys their pants from Marks. I'm wearing Marks and Spencer's pants right now. They're fabulous pants.
Yes. Oh, yeah, they're great. They're stretchy.
Fabulous. Brilliant.
It's just inoffensive clothing that you can get in there. Yes. That's the idea. Yeah. That's what the whole beige thing is about. You know, like those movies with, you know, It's Complicated and all them kind of things, with the rich Americans, Race and Frankenstein. It's just beige, beige, beige. Like, they could do tokens for men like you, no offense, Colin, so that you could just walk in. You said you had slacks. You could just walk in with two tokens and they go, what are you looking for? And you go, two clothes, please.
I do.
Are you sure? The top half and the bottom half, thank you.
I do not buy my clothes in Marks & Spencer's.
You just told me you were wearing...
I buy my pants in Marks & Spencer's.
Oh, just your underwear.
Just my underwear, yeah. Nothing else in Marks & Spencer's.
Go on, give us a look.
The last time...
Oh, lovely.
The last time I was in Marks & Spencer's, right, my father is an elderly gentleman, because that's how this works generationally, and he goes, I want to buy a suit at Marks & Spencer's. I said, fine. So we brought him up to Marks & Spencer's, and this is how an 80-year-old man can get away with things that somebody in the 30s or 40s can't. He was charming to this woman. She was great crack. She was in her 50s, right, and she had a little name badge on her chest, towards the left side of her chest, and it said, Deborah. And my dad looked at her and went, Deborah, and she said yes, and he said, what he called the other one. And she laughed, whereas if I said it, you'd be on a register.
Thank you very much for that. Thank you, and yes, indeed, it is true. There is a chance we could run out of Prosecco, and if you're worried about this, please don't panic. Just get yourself a bottle of Buckfast and a soda stream. Now, what is our next question tonight? Our next question tonight is, who do you blame for big moments?
People are so boring now. There was a survey that was talking about big moments, and communions and christenings and all that kind of stuff from the religion wasn't in there, but getting a selfie with a celebrity was in there.
Really?
Yeah, which is nonsense. Like, a friend of mine actually had her phone stolen while she was taking a selfie, which I love, because I think that it's gas that her mugger might actually have a souvenir of the incident. Just a picture of a girl going, ah! And a collage of them at home, you know. And she actually had to give a description. She thought he was good looking. So we ended up with her being read back a description of a Garda going, you're telling me I'm looking for a young man with the golden locks of an angel. And the thing is, I mean, that's not impressive. And another thing was in there, marriage was up there, getting a driver's license. So they're just licenses, basically. Getting a dog license, getting a gun, becoming a poet. Like anything. Marriage, poetic license.
Crazy.
Thank you very much for that. Yes, indeed, we've just time now for a quick fire round. I will read you various newspaper headlines, and I want you to be faster than a FIFA executive into a prison cell. Could herpes be the cure for cancer?
Is the worst chat-up line I've ever heard.
Fox News
is surprisingly popular with chickens.
I've fallen in love with a pony.
Prince Charles on Camilla.
Port Rush man describes earthquake.
Sure, it was like the roller coaster in Barry's Head. It was desperate altogether.
And finally, Morrissey tells Ireland, well done on gay marriage, try harder on animal rights.
Ireland tells Morrissey to f*** off.
That's it. That's the end of the show. Please show your appreciation to our panel, Colin Murphy, Al Porter, Jake O'Kane and Neil Delamere. I'm Tim McGarry. Until next week, don't blame yourselves, blame each other. Goodbye.
And you can hear that edition of The Blame Game on Monday at 7:30 or online at our website, where you can also download the podcast. It's produced by Jackie Hamilton for Moondog Productions.